Well, we're glad to have the Garcia family with us tonight, Brother Andrew and his sweetheart, and a little Miss Sophia. And boy, she's a jewel, isn't she? And she just take hold of your hand and just walk you. I love watching her pass out the little cards, and she'd pass them out five at a time. And it was just wonderful to have these folks with us. And so the rest of the service is going to be theirs. And I believe there's a brief video that we're going to be watching. And then, brother, the rest of the service will be yours. If you want to present your ministry and then open the Word of God, that would just be phenomenal. So, brother, the rest of the service is yours. I'm going to sit by my sweetheart.
Well, thank you, of course, for the opportunity to be here, first of all. This is our last weekend of meetings before we head to the field. And, in fact, this is our last meeting. We are leaving for Honduras next Tuesday, about 9 days. And it has been quite a weekend. We had a meeting at a mission conference in Columbia, South Carolina, Friday night. And about 50 minutes away, our tire popped. And I tried my best to patch it up with a patch kit and plug it up. It was not going to work. Way too big of a hole. And then, so I put the spare on. Noticed while I was doing that, there was some kind of slash in the tire. I have no idea when that happened. But I tried to put it on and see how far that would get us. And the answer is about 5 minutes before it just completely shredded up. And I could look at that one of two ways. I could say Satan was trying to prevent us from getting to our meeting to be able to present our burden there at that church. Or I could say God really wanted us to witness to our tow truck driver, Cody. So if you would pray for Cody that he'd get in a good church and have that assurance. I asked him the question if he thought he was going to heaven or not, and he thought, well, I hope so. And I hope Cody learns someday, knows that it's not a doubtful hope. It is a certain thing that you can be sure of, not the thing based on his works, certainly not on mine, but on Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And that is the message the whole world needs to hear. That is the message God has called us to take to the people of Honduras. If you're not entirely sure where Honduras is on the map, it's just two countries below Mexico, and that's a four-hour flight from Atlanta Airport, which is a flight, again, we're making not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. Going to do a little bit of packing, a few more things to take care of before we leave. Church in Bluestone Baptist in Danielsville, Georgia is going to do a send-off service for us. It's going to be a blessing, I'm sure, but I am, in a way, strange to say this, but I am in a way going to miss Deputation. All the people we have met, all the people who have been a blessing to us is just tremendous. But also, honestly, I'm glad we're getting to the field, because that is what the whole thing has been about, getting there, tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, most of the world has not heard what Jesus has done for them. I heard the gospel as a young child. I got saved at Calvary Baptist Church in Smithfield, Virginia. I received Jesus as my Savior because I had the opportunity to hear what Jesus had done for me. And he paid it all. That's what he did. And I heard because someone preached the gospel. And someone preached because he was sent there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But again, most of the world has never had anyone sent to them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, they've never heard. They've never had an opportunity to receive the gospel. And for those people, there is a 100% chance that they're going to hell when they die, unless they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's so important. And that's not a good statistic. They need to hear and know what Jesus has done for them. And so the people of Honduras, if I'm being honest with you, you know, Honduras, mostly a Catholic nation. If I was to ask just about any Honduran, do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross to pay for your sins and that he rose again after 3 days? Most of them would say yes. So you might ask me the question, why are you going to Honduras then? Well, here's the problem. They add to the gospel, which according to Galatians chapter 1 makes it another gospel, which is not a gospel at all. It has no power to save. I bought a mango in Honduras once, and it looked great. I took time picking it out. It was going to be great. The juice was all running down out of my hands. It was ready to be eaten. The problem was, as I found out when I took it home and cut into it, it was already being eaten. Bunch of maggots in my mango. It was no longer good because something bad had been added to it. If you change the oil on your car and you use a rag or old t-shirt to clean it up, you can't use that rag later to go wipe off the dishes. My wife would not be happy with me, okay? It's not good for anything. It is filthy. And we like to think, not just the people of Honduras, but we all like to think that our good works will somehow improve on the gospel. That's not the truth. The gospel can't be improved upon. Certainly not by our works. They're filthy rags. They have no power to save, no power to increase our standing with God. Has no power to save. And that is what is separating the people of Honduras from everlasting life. They need to hear. They need to know that Jesus paid it all because he loves them so much. He gave his life for them so they could have that everlasting life. And so that is the burden that God has placed in our hearts. So I got to go to Honduras for 2 years after I graduated from Bible college. Got to work with a wonderful ministry there for those 2 years, working in a Christian school and being involved in other ministries as well. And during my time there and all through Bible college, you know, I was told I was going to find that special someone there for me, but that was not true. But anyway, it was a good time anyways. Got to learn a lot about the Bible and preaching. But anyway, all through that time, no special someone for me. Then I came back to the States in 2018, and my wife was already a single missionary on her way to a country called Honduras, of all places. So we met on deputation, basically. And I tried to get her number. She gave me her prayer card, which if you didn't get one of ours yet from me or from Sophia, please get one. And you'll notice our number's on there. And you could call us for any reason, right? But my wife, she didn't have her phone number on there. I looked all over the place, used a magnifying glass, all that. No phone number. But we got in touch anyway. It's because she was a smart single lady, right? I'm not going to give her phone number out to all the guys at every church. But anyway, we got in touch, and I asked her out for coffee. And the fourth time I asked her, she finally said, maybe. So that was progress. But hey, it's been a good almost 3 years of marriage, 3 years next month. And we got a wonderful girl, Sophia, and we got another one on the way in June, going to be born in Honduras, right in the middle of language school. So that'll be an interesting time for my wife, if you would pray for her and for me and for all of us during that time. But children are a blessing, for sure, no doubt about it. So that is our plan as we go next week to Honduras to start language school. As I said, I lived there for 2 years, so my Spanish is all right. But it's gotten a little rusty during deputation. I try to keep up with it. Have had the opportunity to preach in some Spanish churches, sometimes without any warning at all. And it usually doesn't go that great. But the point is, the plan is to get to that point where we can preach the gospel very comfortably and share our burden with people. And of course, you know, make disciples is what God has called us to do. So God has blessed me. That's what I'm trying to say. We're going to show our video. And I'm going to get up with some more and talk a little bit more about our exact plan for Honduras. And then we'll get into the Word of God in Galatians chapter 2.
Hello, we are Andrew and Amber Garcia, missionaries to Honduras with Vision Baptist Missions. In our nation's capital, there are over 700,000 people and approximately 170 Baptist churches. This means there's one church for every 4,000 people in Washington, D.C. But I'm not here to talk about our nation's capital. Today, I want to share with you our burden for the capital of Honduras, Tegucigalpa, which is home to over 1 million Hondurans. Located in Central America, Honduras is home to over 10 million people. And in its capital, there are over 1,400,000 people with only 20 Baptist churches, one church for every 70,000 people. Our goal is to go to Honduras and reach the nation for Christ. During the 2 years I lived in Honduras, we would go out evangelizing every week, and I would ask the question, how do you get to heaven? And they would tell me, you know, I love God, I'll do good things, I'll obey my parents, those sort of things, but none of those things will help them go to heaven. They need to hear and know the gospel message of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can tell you about the problems in Honduras. I could tell you about the poverty. I could tell you about the crimes and drugs. I could tell you about the fatherless homes. But the greatest problem they have is that they are dying and going to hell because they do not know the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The vast majority of them are pointing to their own works or to the works of saints. They hope that calling attention to those things, those works, will help them. They do not know that their only hope is to call on Jesus Christ. As Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? They need preachers, preachers who will boldly tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he and he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but by him. I'm not going to Honduras to be a pastor or just to start multiple churches. I'm going to Honduras with the main goal of training up men, men of God who will boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in season and out of season. Over half of Hondurans are under the age of 25. My goal is to reach out primarily to that age group so that I may find young men whom I can lead to Christ and disciple them so that they may be pastors who will faithfully preach the gospel.
We pray and believe that one day Honduras will be filled with men and women of God. May the world be filled.
We pray and believe that one day Honduras will be sending out men and women of God, missionaries, who will go to other parts of the world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the United States cannot reach the world alone. There's so much more work to be done. I believe that Honduras, Central America, and in fact all of Latin America will play a huge role in reaching the world in our generation. But for now, there is still work to be done in Honduras. The western side of the capital is known as Comayagüela. 700,000 Hondurans live in that area, and I could only find one Baptist church, one church to reach and disciple 700,000 Hondurans. Please pray for us as my wife and I go to Honduras to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray that even now God would be preparing the hearts of the people there. Pray that one day you would be able to walk the streets of Honduras, ask a random Honduran, what must I do to be saved? And that instead of trusting in his own works, he would say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Hello, we are Andrew and Amber Garcia, missionaries to
and what he can do in their life for their eternal life. That only comes from Jesus Christ. There's only one way. You know, actions speak much louder than your words. If you're here, right, you probably believe that Jesus is the only way. But what do your actions say? What do your actions say? That's a question we should ask ourselves, not just once, but I think regularly. To ask what Jesus has done for us, what he's done for the world. And the fact is, there is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. So I heard the gospel sitting in a Baptist church, much like this one. The problem in Honduras is they need more churches to preach the gospel faithfully, more men of God who fill those pulpits to preach the gospel, more women of God who will share the gospel with their family members, their friends, their co-workers, or whoever needs to hear the gospel. And the whole world needs to hear and know. Someday, We'll get that to that in a moment. So our goal is to go to Honduras and plant multiple churches in that area of the capital city is our burden specifically. So if we could plant one church every 5 years as God provides, as he gives opportunities and opens doors, let's say we were there for 40 years, that's a good 8 churches, maybe 10, which is great, but you know what happens to a major capital city in 4 decades? It's going to keep growing, right? It's not going to stay the same size of 1 million people. It's going to keep growing. And so our other goal is to make disciples, to multiply our ministry far beyond what we could possibly do by ourselves. And quite simply, whatever else we may do as different ministry outlets, whether that's music or medical missions or aviation missions or whatever, the primary thing that Jesus told us to do is to make disciples. And we can do that in many ways, but just simply that. You don't have to complicate it. Tell people what Jesus has done for them. Teach them the things that Jesus has taught us. It's really as simple as that. And everything else that we do should be used to focus on that, to improve that, right? To give us opportunities to do that. That's what I believe. That is the burden that God has placed in my life. I'm not the most capable, not the most eloquent. See, I can't even say it right. Right? But God is great. And I know he is going to do great things in the country of Honduras and with the people of Honduras. You may ask the question, how can they do much for missions, for ministry, with so little in the way of resources? They make about $8 a day on average. About $3,000 a year is what that adds up to. Not much. But again, our God is great. And he will use them greatly. I believe that. I am biased, but I really believe that. God is going to do great things with them. I want to see missionaries being sent out of Honduras, out of Central America, to reach the rest of the world. Because the fact is, even though America has done much in the way of sending out missionaries, we haven't done enough, and we're not meant to do it all by ourselves. God has commanded every church and every nation to do their part in reaching the world with the gospel, with his message of salvation. And Honduras is no exception. I have a friend named Alexander Reyes. He is a missionary from Honduras. He's finished deputation. He's doing language school now in the country of Haiti, getting ready to preach the gospel, to make Jesus' name known in that country. And I just have a vision someday. We'll see maybe many Hondurans in many different nations preaching the gospel, having that burden to share the gospel. And many Hondurans do have that burden when they receive Jesus because they've been lied to for so many generations, being told it's about your works. And then they find out it's not. Jesus paid it all. Well, that definitely is going to fill you with a certain zeal to go out there and make sure people have heard the wonderful news that you have been blessed to hear. And I want to talk about that a bit today in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I want to talk about, first of all, our identity in Christ. When we think about identity, different things may come to mind. You know, your appearance, your looks, your name, what you're known for. Maybe for me, Andrew Garcia, you think, oh, missionary to Honduras. If you saw my daughter, you might think, oh, that's the guy with the cute daughter. I'd like to be known for that. Write it on my tombstone, whatever. Andrew Garcia has the cutest daughter ever in the world. Yes, I know. But anyway, she's great. God has blessed me. What can I say? But anyway, more important than all of those other things or what I may accomplish in Honduras, how many souls I may see saved, the most important thing about me, the primary truth or foundation of my identity is this, something along these lines at least, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, which says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, and I think this is the most important thing about me, of the Son of God, loved me, who loved me and gave himself for me. If there's anything I want anybody and everybody to know about me, is that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died for me. Because he loves me. And he gave himself for me. He died for me. And that is something I should be very, very willing to brag about my Savior. Not about myself, right? But about Jesus Christ and what he has done for me. It should be a very easy thing for me to do. It should be a natural thing for me to do. I like, if you didn't pick up on this already, I like to brag about my daughter. Okay? Now, she's only 2, so she objectively has not accomplished anything great with her life yet. But she may never. I think, as her dad, that it's all great. Everything that she does is wonderful, and I don't care if people get offended, but everything my daughter does is better than everything your child does, right? I will all but say that. I come very close to saying that. I definitely think it, right? And it's horrible. I never imagined myself being like that before I had a daughter, but it's true. My daughter's great. What can I say? I like to brag about her. This is the point. I don't care if you get offended. Maybe a little bit. I should be polite and all that. But I really don't care, honestly. Now, God has done so much for me. So why should I care at all if I offend somebody by bragging about what he's done for me? Why should I care if I lose a friend or a family member or a position or wealth? I don't care. And I shouldn't care because the Son of God loved me. Amen. And he gave himself for me. Now slow down for a moment and think about what that means. Christian, those of us who have especially have grown up in church, you know, as my wife, when she tells her testimony, she used to think that God was lucky to have her on his side. And I think if we're honest, a lot of us who have grown up in church, we kind of think that way, you know, we're good, we've never done too much wrong. But here's the problem though, right? To whom has been forgiven little, he loves little. And to whom has been forgiven much, he loves much. And I think the problem is we associate ourselves with the person who has been forgiven of little. And so we say, that's why I'm not as grateful and I really don't need to be as grateful. Well, that's a problem because the truth is we've all been forgiven of much. The problem is your mindset. The problem is your attitude towards that. You know, the same grace that God gives to a man who has lived a life of violence, of drugs, and all that, and infidelity, and then saves him, changes his life, that is a tremendous amount of grace. But no less is the grace that sees a young person grow up in church and keeps them from that, and then gives them the humility, all right, to submit to the will of God, to understand that they're a sinner. God is full of mercy and grace to all of us. Do not lose sight of that. We all are rotten, filthy sinners. We do not deserve this sacrifice. The Son of God loved you so much. Who is he? He's the Son of God, right? He's the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. No one better than him. No one more pure. No one more just. No one more holy. He is the best of everything. That is good. And that person, that perfect being, died for you. And you know who you are. If you're honest with yourself, we know, again, we're not worth that sacrifice. So what should that do? That should motivate me, again, even more to brag about what Jesus has done for us. Now, here's the interesting thing for me is this tells us we're crucified with Christ. Our old nature, our sin nature especially, that is dead. And we're a new person. God has made us new. I want to be like a window, right? That people look right through me and they just see Jesus. But if I'm honest, right, this life, this window, it's a bit smudged. It's got some cracks in it probably. Maybe my daughter ate some spaghetti and smeared it all over, right? It's not the clearest picture of Jesus, but with time, Jesus sanctifies us so that more and more we clearly show him to the world. Always going to be an imperfect image, but it will be some resemblance to him, right? That's the goal. But in the eyes of God, you already are that
perfect image of Jesus, because he's not looking at you. He's never going to be impressed with you or less impressed with you if you fail. No, he's impressed with his son. He's pleased in his son. And the thing is, God isn't really looking at you, right? He's not grading you. He's looking at his son. And that is why when he looks at us, he sees something of value, because we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he can look at us and say, well done. He can say that he's pleased with us, because every good thing that I do, it's not attributed to me. It's all because of what Jesus has done for me and who he has changed me into. It's all the power of Christ. Nothing comes from us. And we should be grateful even more so for this. We should make sure the world hears what Jesus has done for us. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Church of Galatia. We know his story, right? When you hear the Apostle Paul, you probably think, oh, great missionary, great man of God, wrote a lot of the New Testament, but that was not always his identity. He used to hate the gospel. He was Saul, right? Persecuted the church. He was the chief of sinners, Pharisee of Pharisees. That was his identity. This is what he was known for. One act in his life defined him. That's the man who held the coats of the men who stoned Stephen. That's who he was. That's the act that defined him. But then he had the encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, absolutely changed his life, flipped his goals in life completely upside down. This is just my imagination, but I imagine that as Saul, he woke up many mornings planning his day. All right, I need to go to that street corner, to that house. I need to put that Christian family in jail. I need to go to that village over there, that town way over there to arrest them. I need to stop Christianity. That was the goal that through which all his plans were focused, right? But then he woke up as a Paul, and I imagine he asked himself, all right, who on the street hasn't heard about Jesus? Who in which city hasn't heard about Jesus yet? I need to make sure that they all hear what Jesus has done for me and what he can do for them. That was his goal in life. That is what he lived for, because I believe Paul maintained an attitude of gratitude for what Jesus had done for him. And you might say, well, I never had such a dramatic story, change in life, testimony as the Apostle Paul. But again, we've all been forgiven of much. Keep that in mind. We have been forgiven of much. We should be grateful. We should be very willing to brag about Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead, but I'm alive, right? But it's Jesus who lives in me. So the question is, how would he live my life? What would he do with my life, with my time? He would share the gospel. Who would he share the gospel with? I think we complicate this too much sometimes. We become very super spiritual. I need to pray about this. Does God want me to share the gospel with this person or not? The answer is yes. Right? Are they breathing? This is the only test you need to apply to whether you should share the gospel with someone or not. Are they breathing? Then the answer is yes. They're breathing, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because after the fact, then it's too late. You know the wonderful thing about this? This isn't just a matter of obedience and disobedience. It is disobedience if we're not sharing the gospel. But beyond that, this is a great joy. The greatest thing, in my opinion, about being a dad is I get to basically relive childhood through my daughter's eyes. It's wonderful, okay? Every time she tries a new delicious food like ice cream, it's a good experience. And in the same way, sharing the gospel with someone, seeing a lost person realize for the first time that someone loves them, not just someone, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves them so much that he gave himself for them. That is something wonderful, obviously, for that lost person, but also for you to refresh your faith. That's what Jesus has commanded us to do. It shouldn't be a burden or a sacrifice. It shouldn't be looked at that way. This is a blessing for us, because we are made to worship Jesus Christ with all of our breath and being for all eternity. But there is one way, at least as far as I'm thinking of right now, that you cannot worship Jesus once you die. And that is by sharing the gospel with the lost. You can't do it. as soon as you die? You know, you've probably maybe asked people this question before, if you've witnessed to people. You don't know what day you're going to die. This could be your last day on earth. Ask yourself that question, Christian. Is this my last day to share the gospel with somebody? If I die today, is there anyone else who's going to share the gospel with that person? It's my responsibility. It should be my joy. I might offend them. I don't care. Eternity is at stake here. There's someone out there more qualified than me. No, there isn't. There isn't. Because here's what sharing the gospel is. I think the most effective way to share the gospel is to tell your story. You want to think of someone who is super overqualified? Probably the Apostle Paul comes to mind for me. He really knew the Bible. He wrote a lot of it, okay? But when he shared the gospel with the lost, didn't matter who it was, all he did every single time, as far as we see in the book of Acts, tell his story. He's not some five-point theological debate or apologetics. No, he just told them, this is who I was. This is how Jesus saved me. This is who I am now. And this is how you can have the same thing. And I really want you to have this, what I have. That's all you got to do. And so, can't escape it, that makes you the most qualified person in the entire world to share the gospel by sharing your story. So you can't get out of it. I am not the most outgoing person. I imagined when I submitted to being a missionary as a child, you know, I guess I'll do this, but I'll have to be a missionary pilot or a doctor or something, because I can't preach in front of people. I can't speak to people. I don't even know if I can witness to people one-on-one. That's what I was thinking back then. I was really shy, right? And that's still my tendency, but the fact is God is great and he can change people and use anybody. And if I'm talking about Jesus, all that other stuff goes out the window, right? It doesn't matter what my preferences are. It doesn't matter what is easy for me. I need to do this because it's the best thing to do. And whatever God has called you to do in life, as far as full-time job and career, you can reach people I can't reach, right? You can reach people that I don't know in a way that even your pastor could not reach them. I'm sure he has many years of experience witnessing to people and all that. But God has placed you in people's lives for a reason, to reach them. You have a certain influence over them, whether they're friend or co-worker or whatever. And we should have a certain influence over people. But the problem is, sometimes we don't. Sometimes I think if we're playing a word association game with lost people, if we said, first word that comes to your mind when you hear the word Christian, hypocrite. Always. Always going to be hypocrite or judgmental or something about hatred, something like that. That should not be what we're known for, right? Are we hypocrites sometimes? Yeah. I like to say when people say that, there's room for one more hypocrite in our church, right? We're all inconsistent with what we say we believe at times. Now, the thing is, that should not be what we're known for, right? That shouldn't be what we're known for as the church, as the body of Christ, as people who say we love Jesus, but our actions far too often fall very short of that. The reason Galatians chapter 5 talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, obviously, I should not be known as a Christian for the works of the flesh, because that is not what Jesus would do. And he is living my life. I'm crucified with him. I no longer do those things. But I should be doing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, all of those things. Why? Well, it's good for my own life, for one thing. It's what Jesus has commanded me to do, but also so that I can be that faithful testimony to the lost. They know very well how I'm supposed to live. They know. They're watching you. Back to that illustration, that window, right? God looks at us and he sees a perfect image of Jesus, yes, but the world, that's not what they're seeing, right? They're seeing the reality of our life, our actions, our failings, and they're going to hold Christianity up by based on you, on your life, and judge it and condemn it and say it's not real. That's not how it should be, Christians, right? Our life should show that we love and believe that God knows what he's talking about, right? These commandments that he's asked us to do and the things he's asked us not to do, it's not to take all the fun and joy out of our life. What kind of expression are we wearing when we come to church, when we pray, when we read our Bible? Maybe when we can't cheat or lie to get ahead in life financially or something like that, right? What expression are we wearing? I have to come to church. I have to pray today. Can't go fishing. Can't go golfing. Can't sit at home and watch TV. I just have to go to church today. So exciting. No, right? This is absolutely wonderful. The world, the lost, should be made to feel that they are missing out on the greatest thing ever. Because they are. They should be jealous. It should keep them up at night. What do they have that I don't have? Live like it. Act like it. Smile like it. Like you have the best blessing that you could ever have, and that is Jesus Christ. So, final thought, you know, we're talking about who we are as Christians in general. This is our identity. This is what we were made and saved to do, to reach people with the gospel. But also think of yourself, narrow it down, think of yourself as a unique person, and add on to that, I touched on those things earlier, whether you can use music or medical or aviation or whatever to bring about, you know, spreading the gospel. You can use those things. So think of your own hobbies that you have. Very simple example, do you like to cook? Guess what? There are more, it's not only Baptists that like food. Everybody likes food, okay? At least I think so. But anyway, you know, share some food with a lost person and then point them to the bread of life. Teach a young person something useful. We learn everything from YouTube nowadays, right? How to change the oil, all that. It misses that personal touch, though, okay? Reach out to a young person, teach them something useful, and then teach them the most important thing about the gospel. Really doesn't matter what it is at all. You may have no hobbies at all, no interest. Doesn't matter. This is what matters. Show somebody that you care. No doubt about it, you care about them. So that you can point them to the one who cares the most. And without a doubt, that is the Son of God, who loved me. And he gave himself for me. I shouldn't keep that to myself. I shouldn't be able to. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we go off to Honduras and as everyone here at Calvary Baptist goes about their different ways, just pray that you would give us the opportunity and also help us to keep our mind, our heart fixed on you, and just to be so grateful every day for what you have done for us, and help us to find and make opportunities to share the gospel. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. If you want to hold tight just a second, maybe you have some questions about Honduras. Some things that maybe he had an excellent presentation, but maybe there's some other questions about what the ministry is, or just some things about the Hondurans in general. So, any questions at all? And I'll just right back there. There's several.
Will you be working with Julie and Sam Hodges?
No, I worked with them for 2 years actually when I was there, but then we'll go to work with the Goins, Matt Goins. They're up in. Okay, awesome. Yeah, so we'll be there for the year of language school.
Very good. I think Brother Josh had a question.
Oh, is it Spanish?
Yes, sir, Spanish.
Very good.
Do you have any anticipated hurdles, or do you expect to hit the ground pretty much unrestricted? If you have any hurdles, what would you anticipate?
Well, just finding a Spanish tutor at the moment. We had one set up. He fell through. Then I looked at a Spanish learning academy, way too expensive for private lessons that we need for our schedule. And so, but we'll find someone, just anyone with a high school graduation works. They speak Spanish. Yes.
Volunteer my sister.
All right.
So she lives in Ecuador right now, and she teaches, PE, and she used to teach Spanish.
That'd be awesome, but we're trying to look for something in person, too, that works best for us. Thank you, though.
Okay, any questions?
Yes, sir.
Somewhat related. I'm just considering, I guess, governmental involvement. What's the temperature gauge on their concern as it relates to the Bible-believing church?
I would say we have more freedom there. I've preached in public schools there. No problem. So
Amen.
It's a great open door.
Good.
Yes.
Do you have any kind of youth ministry set up for there, or that you are thinking about doing?
Yeah, definitely. So as we mentioned in the video, my main focus would be on 15 to 25-year-old guys, witness to them, get them discipled and all of that, and then expand my ministry, the ministry through that means be the goal. My wife would certainly work with young people and women and all that. And yeah, we'll do different things. My church will probably come down at some point. We'll do a soccer camp, VBS of sorts, and things like that. Yeah, it'll be a blessing. A lot of young people in Honduras.
That's on the other hand. All right. Any others? Good questions. Good questions. All right. Well, thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Lord bless you. Well, it's been a blessing, hasn't it? All right, they'll be spending the night here at the little apartment, and so if you have any other questions or want to get to know them, especially Sophia, now that's the young lady to get to know. She's just a jewel. She just walks right up and lets you pick her up like your grandpa, if you're a guy, or grandma, I guess, and I'm kind of partial to, yeah, I got to do that. And so just get to know these folks, and it's not going to be long until they'll be there and engaged in learning, and it's just a lot to get going in the first of the years that you're there. But once you're there a little while, boy, just, oh, what a blessing. And so we're glad that you're here. Well, if you'll join us in standing, we'll be dismissed in a moment. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Brother Chris, would you word our prayer for us, please?
Father, we thank you for the missionaries throughout the world that we can support. We thank you that you've blessed us to the point where we have enough that we overflow.
Yes.
That we can give to those that are called to go out into the ministry. We pray that you be with their ministry, help it to grow, help the souls to be saved.
Yes.
Give them ideas and wisdom as to how to reach the people. They're there to serve, and we pray that that would be fruitful. Lord, we know that we can do nothing without you.
Yes.
Pray that you'd be in the midst.
Yes.
Well, thank you for all this. In Christ's name, amen.